sit down. Last week, Mark started talking with the young people and those older who were listening about the story of Jonah, the prophet Jonah. There he is. Right, Jonah, very good. So, who remembers hide and seek as a kid? Yeah? I think we must have all played it at one point. Someone counting with their fingers like this. One, two, miss a few, 99, 100, and everyone's running in all different directions to try and find this perfect place to hide. Now, God spoke to Jonah and asked him to go to Nineveh. Now, here, this, I don't know how you have a picture of God speaking to someone. This looks like Jonah's summoning the waiter to pay the bill in a restaurant. But last week, we saw Jonah was running away from God and the call upon his life. And Jonah was doing his utmost to try and hide from him. And what we see this week, God is seeking Jonah through a series of events that might cause him to turn and repent and renew his obedience with him. God's seeking, as sometimes happens with us, God's seeking involves his chastening hand for us. Now, there are five ways that God seeks Jonah in this passage from the beginning. First thing, Jonah has gone to Joppa. He's paid his fare and he's got on a ship that's sailing for Tarshish. Now, Nineveh's that way, and you'll be surprised to learn Tarshish is that way. He's going in the opposite direction. So what's the first thing that God does to try and get through to him? You probably know that he sends a violent storm on the boat that they're on. And what happens is the crew initially are very afraid, and they try to lighten the load by throwing what they could spare over the side of the boat and crying on their pagan gods. Jonah's sin of running away isn't just affecting Jonah, it's affecting the safety of these possibly hundreds of people, we don't know, on this ship. So the captain goes to find Jonah. Everyone is busy sorting themselves out up deck, and the captain goes to find Jonah. And what's Jonah doing? Is he praying and repenting and working out what he can do to turn this ship around and get to Nineveh as soon as he can? He's asleep. Why he's asleep, I don't know. Is he exhausted from all the emotional turmoil of running, or is he just in rebellion and relaxing and think he's got away with it? So the second way God challenges Jonah and seeking after him is through the captain challenging him. The captain was not happy, clearly, with Jonah sleeping below deck while everyone else was upstairs doing all they could to try and keep this ship afloat. So he went and said, "How can you sleep? Get up. Call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Now, this must have been a challenge for Jonah. You see, how could Jonah run to God in prayer while he's running away from him physically? You can't do two things in two directions at the same time. So that would have been a real challenge for Jonah. Maybe God was speaking to Jonah through the words of this captain. "Turn back to me, Jonah." It all starts with a word of prayer. So Jonah got dragged above deck. Where are we sleeping? There's the challenge. So Jonah got dragged above deck and, of course, was confronted with the crew. Now, sailors are often superstitious. And in this slide, we see them casting lots, trying to work out who was guilty on this ship of this terrible crime that has caused this calamity. This is the third way that God is seeking Jonah. The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible." Well, guess who the lot fell on? The lot fell on Jonah. Now, let's not assume that this was a matter of chance. Of course, this was God's doing. From the casting of the lots, the sailors concluded that Jonah must be responsible for the storm. They'd done this little superstitious thing and worked out it must be Jonah, he'd upset his God. So then they start asking him questions. Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And Jonah gives them an answer. I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. His answer's interesting. Can he honestly say that he worships the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land? Hasn't he stopped doing this during his backslidden state? But also interesting is that he doesn't tell them what kind of work he did. He didn't own up to being a prophet that had given up on his prophetic calling. Again, maybe God is speaking to Jonah. You've turned away from me, now turn back. So Jonah gave a kind of clipped answer, an honest answer, and yet a deceptive answer. And the crew weren't fooled by this. They then said, so what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them this. And you all know, of course, what happens next. So their accusation was the fourth way God was trying to reach out to him. And it's as if God was saying to Jonah, Jonah, I'm speaking to you through these men. This is all because of your disobedience. Return to me, Jonah. And what happens next? The fifth way that God was seeking Jonah. He was going to be thrown into the sea. The sea wasn't getting any calmer. And the sailors said to Jonah, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? What should we do to you to make the sea calm down? Jonah said, pick me up and throw me in, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this storm has come upon you. Now, understandably, these men didn't want to throw Jonah overboard because they didn't want to take his life. They didn't want his blood on their hands. So they did their best to row to shore. But it was no good. The sea grew even wilder than before, and they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Now, if I do the next three slides really quickly, it should be like a Pixar animation. It's that one. And then that one. And then that one as he falls over into the raging sea. And this is when things become really desperate for Jonah. He's chucked overboard by these desperate sailors trying to save the ship. Now, if you want to know what happens next, come back next week. Just like Jesus calming the waters, just like Jesus when he calmed the storm, the waters settled immediately. And the sailors feared God because of this. But Jonah isn't safe yet. God brought these circumstances to him to cause him to turn, to repent, to renew his obedience to him. As I alluded to earlier, we all make mistakes and let God down, but God seeks his people to the ends of the earth, and not just to the bottom of the sea, to restore us to himself. Let's be thankful to him. We're going to sing again, and then we'll have our Bible readings. So it's up on the screen, so please stand to sing.